Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Hello and welcome to Ye Old 33% Majority. A fantasy show where three friends fight dragons in dungeons. I am not your host, Alex Springthorpe.
I am also not your host, Ashley Hall.
But I am your host and dungeon master, Tom Hutchinson. And welcome to a really weird and different 10th episode of the 33% Majority.
Nerds, welcome. Cool guys need not apply.
You leave your leather jackets and your tattoos at home, you fuck.
This is not a podcast for popular people, anyway. We thought, as part of the 10th episode of this stupid, dumb podcast that we do, that, I mean, even though the whole thing is pretty much very self-serving, it's usually about the three of us, we wanted to make it even more about us and just do something that the three of us wanted to do, which is play a dumb game of Dragons and Dungeons.
No, that pretty much does it. Yeah. This one's for us. Hey, if you are a listener of this show normally, stop listening now, because this one isn't for you. It's just for us three.
This is our one.
Listen, we're only recording this so we can listen back to it in the night times when we're all a bit sad and lonely, and we just want to think of the homies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a deep and personal thing that you're listening to, you little fucks. You better not.
Now, just before we start playing the game, just to give everybody a bit of background, shall we just go over how we actually sort of played this really nerdy fucking game?
Yeah, so we've done some of a campaign of this before. I was the dungeon master. What happened was I invested my entire life in it to the point where I was unable to do anything else. So we stopped halfway through, like, a game. Not even like halfway through the campaign. I think it was halfway through one game. That's enough dragons and dungeons for me now. And so that's just
No more dragons, no more dungeons. Can't believe it.
It's just in
I hate them both.
I don't know the words for it.
good work, buddy. Good work.
In this entirely speech-based platform, Alex has run out
purgatory.
Of words.
Purgatory. It's in a purgatorial state of everything and nothing.
Yep.
We cared for it so much until we immediately were allowed not to anymore.
And we're going to do a different one. And I suppose as well, just as a little bit more background, I was first introduced to Dungeons and Dragons through watching...
No. Oh? Not called that.
Dragons and Dungeons?
Thank you.
Thank you, much better.
No worries, well, yeah, okay.
I got ready to write this whole thing off and walk off from my desk just then, just letting you know.
I was introduced to Dragons and Dungeons through a show called Community. For any of the listeners that might have seen that as well, it's obviously very fun on that. How were the two of you introduced to the dumb nerd game?
Alex, you can go first, mate, because my introduction's really fucking lame.
Okay. My introduction to Dungeons and Dragons was much the same way as my introduction to podcasting, which was the McElroy brothers.
Oof.
And their Adventure Zone. So yeah, I mean, when I was DMing, the balance arc of the Adventure Zone was my every inspiration. It was written by a man whose full-time job was writing the balance arc of the Adventure Zone. And so everything I ever wanted mine to be was that, and it never could be, which is why maybe I gave up on it. But yeah, that was my introduction. For any of you unaware, it is three brothers and their dad playing Dragons and Dungeons together, and it's lovely.
And it's called, by the way, just for reference again, The Adventure Zone. You can find that on all streaming platforms. It's very, very bloody good. And Ashley, you?
I'm actually really fucking cool, so I hadn't heard of it pretty much. I'd heard of it. I'd seen, like, snippets in media. But then Alex was like, hey, there's this thing that I want to do. And I was like, you know what? I want to do that. I want to get nerdy with my friends.
Wait, hang on. The first time you heard of Dungeons & Dragons was your invite to come and play?
The first time I'd ever considered going anywhere near it, yeah.
You're far too trusting of us.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Well, you guys, like, that's the thing is, like, anybody that I'm, like, friends with can call me and be like, hey, want to come do this thing? And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, yes.
Does that extend to the listeners as well?
Listeners, if you message me saying, hey, do you want to fucking hang out? Listen, I want to hang out with you so hard.
So yeah, I'm so excited to hand over the reins of Dungeon Mastership because, Tommy, I've been so nice to you up until this point and reassuring and helping you where I can. It's fucking stressful and horrifying, and I'm so excited to just play.
Okay, well, I'm excited for you as well. Now, before we kick off, let's very briefly, just to set up some backstory, can you guys both tell me about your characters? And because of the way I've written the beginning of this campaign, I also need the two of you to freeball how you met and how you came together to become adventurers.
Cool, that's fine. Ashley, you go first.
I'm going to be a mystical character, and I'm going to base him on someone that I've admired all my life, been a huge fan of, someone I've always relied on. I'm going to be me.
Oh!
I'm just going to be me, but this is after I spent years on an Alaskan ship fishing for crabs before realizing that actually what I really wanted, what would fulfill me, is having a crab claw. So I've had my hand replaced with an Alaskan crab claw, my left hand.
Okay, Ash, can I just ask a question? So you've got a crab claw,
yes.
But you are now not on Earth Prime, you're on the Dragon
Listen,
and Dungeon
I'm a very
planet.
Powerful man, and if I would like to, I will travel all throughout the many multiverses.
Okay, but how did you get into the Dragon and Dungeon realm?
I was going in my freezer for some more crab, and I fell.
You fell over.
I woke up from my crab fall, and I was there.
Okay, cool. That's something to work with. Thank you for that, Ashley.
You're quite welcome. Intricate lore from my back life there.
Absolutely. Good words there, too.
I'll kill you.
Mine isn't quite as fleshed out as Ashley's in many senses of that word.
Oh, no.
Well, oh, like, okay. Because Ash has 23 years of backstory currently written. And
it's 26. I'm old.
26, you old fuck.
Well, Ashley has a backstory. I didn't get that far. And also his character is more fleshed out because he has flesh. My character, whose name is Nimbus Alto, is a cloud. It's just a cloud. Just a cloud.
What? Just a cloud.
Just a sentient bit of water vapor.
Okay.
I'm going to have some real troubles in combat. I can feel that coming on.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Because I'm just me.
But some things to note about Nimbus Alto. Very, very wise. Very, very intelligent. In terms of combat abilities, he is a cloud. Biggest enemy. Any kind of gust.
Oh no, what about the wind? Yep.
Any area of high pressure and low pressure is going to present a pretty sizable obstacle for Nimbus Alto to overcome.
Oh, I can sense this becoming swiftly problematic.
Mm. Okay, so how did the two of you come together then?
I've kind of got a bit of an explanation, because Nimbus Alto, he's not just a sentient cloud. He is also a cleric.
Okay.
And clerics, kind of, they pick a deity whom they worship and are granted all of their magical abilities from. And my character's god is named Talos, T-A-L-O-S, Talos.
Talos, have you never played Skyrim?
I don't.
Talos.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
His god's name is Tyrone.
Okay, cool. Is that what this game is? It can just be whatever the fuck you want. So yeah, let's call him Tyrone. Cool.
I fear the mighty god Tyrone.
But Tyrone is the god of storm. So as a...
Makes sense, yep.
So actually, as a sailorman... As a sea boy,
yeah.
I feel like we met roughly around the time you fell. You fell into the realm of dragons and dungeons.
Perfect. I'm here. There's some dragons. Maybe there's a dungeon. And there's definitely crab claws. So we're all winners.
Okay.
Do you want some flavour to go with that, Tom? Do you want us to flesh out what that may have looked like?
I mean, let's just workshop it together. I mean, like, off the call, I asked the two of you guys to level up a little bit. I didn't really want us to start at level one. I wanted this to sort of go straight into the action for the sake of the listeners. But, like, why are you guys adventuring together? How long have you been doing it? What's made you stick together, maybe? I don't know.
We met during a So what happened was Ashley had been in touch with an artificer.
What's one of them?
A person what uses magic to invent things, I think. That's my definition of it. That's what I know it to be.
And D&D is all about what you want it to be, Alex. And if you want it to be someone who makes magical things, who could stop you? Who is there that could put power to you, friend?
That's what an artificer is. But the artificer had fitted him with a magical crab claw. Actually, if I remember rightly, you were recovering in the lower deck of the ship.
Yeah, with my crab claw surgery complete.
But just R&R, you've got to chill out after any kind of crab-based surgery.
Crab-based surgery especially requires patience.
Exactly. But you hit a patch of troubled waters, a storm was afoot, waves higher than your ship could possibly dream of overcoming, and you were swiftly overcome. Luckily, I, as a cloud, was just vibing it in this storm, and I saw you in trouble, and I came to help. And I'd never seen a man quite so handsome, quite so crab-clawed.
Canonically, by the way, listeners, my character looks just like me. It's just my face. So, you know, I am handsome, in case you can't hear that in my voice.
Okay, cool. That's a good bit of flavour. Thank you very much, boys. Shall we away to fantasy land?
Yes, please,
oh, boy,
Tommy.
Shall we? Take us away, Dungeon Daddy.
Okay, cool. Well, basically what I want to do to set the scene, I've got a bit of flavour text, and then I'll introduce what you guys are doing, if that sounds cool.
I'm here for it.
Cool, okay. So I want you guys to picture that you're currently looking at like a big sort of like, you know, 120-inch cinema screen for this intro. Listeners too, I want you to close your eyes, even if you're driving, and try and picture this.
Especially if you're driving.
Silence in the fantasy studio, please. The scene is black. You hear footsteps in the distance. A dim glow from the left slowly begins to illuminate a puddle. A fictional camera pointed directly at the fictional ground. As the scene grows slowly brighter, we can see that the puddle is surrounded by black, moss-covered cobblestones. Silver, ornate writing begins to slowly take shape in the water, forming random letters one by one. It reads, "The 33% Majority presents Dungeons and Dragons." The quiet, distant footsteps grow louder, stomping and splashing. Crash! Ashley, your human, Doc Martin-wearing feet land directly in the centre of this fictional puddle that I just spent ages describing.
Ashley, I think the puddle's going to be important.
I'm staring deeply into the puddle, lovingly.
The puddle's going to be the big boss. Write that down. We'll remember that. Sorry, Tommy. You go.
I'll continue to weave this fantasy tapestry. Ash, you're running ahead of Nimbus, whose faint but quite delightful glow illuminates the tunnel ahead of you. Ash, you're bloody. You're tired. You're hurt. Alex, I mean, Nimbus, your cloud hurt, whatever hurt is for clouds. I'm not really sure how that works.
Ow. My cloud bones.
Yes, your cloud bones, yes. So to fill you in on where you are and what you're doing, you're both actually nearing the end of a particularly daring and ingenious quest. A gentleman who goes by the name of Jarl Neldor the Great, who presides over most of the towns and regions.
Sorry, I didn't catch that name. Can you say it again?
Who are you talking to in your character
God.
Right now?
God. Tyrone, what was his name?
Tyrone.
Sorry.
Tyrone, remind me.
His name was Jarl Neldor. That's Jarl, J-A-R-L, and Neldor, N-E-L-D-O-R. Jarl Neldor the Great.
Carl.
No, Jarl.
Carl.
Okay, Carl Neldor the Great. He's the king round here. He sent out a call to any and all adventurers to aid him in finding a cure for his son, who's contracted vampirism. And he said that any party that can bring him a cure will be rewarded handsomely. Now, you the two of you come from a town called Ravensmoor, and you both spoke with a bunch of novice adventurers before you set off, and they're looking for necromancers that might have experience with curing vampirism. But Ash, after speaking with a number of people outside the town, you've actually realised that your best course of action will be to try and raid the old fortress that the Grey Valor used to occupy. Now, can I ask the two of you to do our first roll of the game?
Oh, yeah.
I've got my real life dice.
Yeah, with real actual dice. Don't just roll. Yeah, we'll roll for a purpose. And can I have a history check from one of you, please?
Oh, yeah, you can.
I get a +3 because I love me some real life history.
History. I've never played as a person before. I'm always the other side of this. Where are my things? History, I get a +5 too, so that it's a 17.
Oh.
I know all and I know many.
Okay, good work. And Ash, what did you get?
I got 16, baby boy.
Okay, so yeah, you both know that the Grey Valor are a group of very prolific and successful group of supernatural hunters. They're world-renowned. They spent most of their time occupying a fortress that's to the east of Ravensmoor, where you guys are currently based. But they left 3 or 4 years ago to fight a growing blight of vampirism in the south. So you both feel confident that the Grey Valor will have left a large cache of supplies in their underground vault, and you both imagine, hopefully, a cure for vampirism that they may use in the field. So after reaching the imposing fortress, locating the secret tunnel that's underneath the guards' barracks, and battling through an infestation of ghouls and giant rats, you feel as though you're getting close to the vault.
Wow, Ash, we've not had to roll any dice for this bit of the campaign. We must be very good adventurers.
Probably the best adventurers.
You do both have to take 50% damage right now, though, so can you just, like, take 50% from your overall hit points, please?
Oh, Tyrone, why are you like this?
Tyrone, why?
I don't like that I'm Tyrone.
Tyrone, I have a question. I have 21 health. If I half that, it doesn't let me do halves.
Okay, we'll round up.
Oh, he's not a kind dungeon boy, is he?
He's the rudest dude, horrible. The baddest dude.
No, I meant that if half of 21 is 10.5, just round that up to 11, and so you've got 11 hit points. I wasn't saying take 11 hits. I was saying give yourself 11.
Tyrone, it can be a cruel guard.
I would like to use my first level evocation spell Cure Wounds on Ash immediately.
okay, roll that one up then.
By the looks of things, it just happens. A creature you touch regains a number of hit points equal to 1d8, which is an 8-sided dice, plus your spellcasting ability modifier. This spell has no effect on undead or constructs. So I'm going to roll 1d8 plus 7. That's a 4, 11. 11 points of health for Ashley, please.
Thank you. Okay, Ash. Back to max, buddy. Well done.
Just mark down that spell slot.
yep. Take note of that. We
there
we
you go, Ashley. Do you feel better?
I'm fully erect for this adventure. Thanks, you cloudy fuck.
Have you anything I could use?
I'd like to offer you some words of encouragement. Come on, little buddy. We got this.
And how many hit points does that?
You're both walking down.
Tom, how many hit points does that get me back? Does that get me back hit points? The words of encouragement.
Do you know what? As the DM, I'll give you back 0.5 hit points for those kind words.
Just round it up, Alex.
Yeah, just round it up, yeah. anyway, you're both walking down a narrow, winding tunnel, one that looks exactly the same as the ones you've been in for what feels like weeks, and you hear a low rumble, something like a grunt or a growl.
I think we should investigate that.
In character now, I just like to spin around on the spot 3 or 4 times, just screaming and looking around. Because, you know.
Sorry, screaming?
Oh, do you need me to actually do it?
Well, I mean, I'm going to respect the RP, but actually, I probably, you know, we should be aware that any of our stealth points have now been depleted. That's not a D&D mechanic, but...
Listen, I get plus 5 to stealth, so I think that makes up for it.
Probably not, but go on.
Like, just in post, can we just stretch that out? I can't.
Okay, sure, yeah. And with that, yes, Alex or Cloud or Nimbus, you've expended, you guys don't have the element of surprise now. You hear a huge chest rumbling roar, and out from the darkness jumps the largest dog you've ever seen. And as you look closer, you realize that it has two heads. It's a death dog. Can you guys, please, roll for initiative?
Oh, yes, I can. What's my...
Just for the listeners, whilst the boys are rolling, rolling for initiative basically decides the order of combat. So the guys would roll a 20-sided dice and then add their modifiers to that number to decide who goes first and what order the fight will be. And I'm also rolling the initiative for the dog too.
Speaking of two, that I got one of them.
Okay, cool. Good work, buddy. You tried your hardest. Ash?
I get a plus 2 to initiative, so your boy got 4.
4?
Yeah.
Fuck, right. Okay, well...
I'm sick, I am, by the way.
Yeah, that's bad. Okay, well, in that case, the death dog is going to go first. And Ash, because you were the one screaming and shouting and spinning in a circle after having fought through... you know, a horde of ghouls and large giant rats. He's going to go straight for you, and he's going to go for a bite. He's going to try and take a chunk out of you. So let's roll. That is a 16 plus... what am I adding? That's a good question. I don't know. Let's just call it 16 for the time being, because I forgot how to play this fucking game. 16 against your armor class, Ashley. Does that hit?
I haven't got any armor on, so yeah.
Cool. Okay, let's roll up some.
What is your armor class, Ashley? Just for the sake of the listeners, so they know.
12, but for the sake of... yeah, listeners, I've got 12 armor points naturally, so if you meet me in real life, just know that unless you can do more than 12 damage, you better just not.
Okay, well, you're going to take 5 damage. He does 5 damage, sinking his teeth into your shoulder. Luckily, you managed to shake him off, but not before you've taken that damage, buddy.
Outrage.
Yep, anyway, next up, Ash, you are next up in the order. I haven't looked at your weapons or anything that you've got, so what are you going to do?
I'm actually unarmed, just like in real life. I don't need a weapon, because I am a weapon in and of myself. So I'd like to run at it and do a flurry of blows. Which is because I'm a monk in real life as well. Listeners, no lies there.
That encapsulates who you are as a person, definitely.
Yeah, well, I wear the beanie hat, so you can't see the big bowl pack. So, because you've got, if you're going to be a monk, you've got to have that, haven't you?
Have you got the airbending arrow on your forehead, like Aang?
I have a symbol, but I can, no, I'm just kidding. No, I don't have anything on my forehead.
Okay.
So I can do flurry of blows, which means after I attack, I can spend one key point to make two extra unarmed strikes. So I'm gonna run at the wolf. I'm gonna kick fucking hell dog. I'm gonna kick him in his noggin, and then I'm gonna do two little karate pokes right at his eyeballs.
Okay. Do you have to roll against my armor class here or
Listen,
not?
Listen, I don't want to say fuck your armor class because I'm gonna kick it. But yeah, sure, I'll roll against it. Hang on.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, this is upsetting. I got a 17.
That's probably quite good.
Okay, so that hits.
Wow, Ashley, what an excellent punch you did. I wonder how much it hurt him.
Are we married to that character voice?
What you're not hearing in the moment is all of the reverb and mystical sound effects that come as part of my voice. Like, if I put them on right now, I sound like a fucking idiot.
Alex, you were complaining about the complexity of editing, and now you're like, oh, I'm gonna make my character sound like Bruce Wayne.
I complain about the time that I had to spend literal hours, actually, editing you eating lozenges out of the podcast.
Listeners, those lozenges are essential. Without my comedy input, you guys, listen, I'm the talent of this group. I'm the Brad Pitt, all right?
as both the host and the Dungeon Master, Ash, you die.
Tyrone strikes me from the... Thanks, Tyrone. Fuck's sake.
No, Ash, you can't thank me or say anything. You're deceased. Dead. And
what if you die in Dungeons and Dragons, you die in real life?
No, hang on. I've got a cantrip called Spare the Dying. I touch a living creature that has zero hit points. The creature becomes stable. The spell has no effect on undead or constructs. I don't know what a construct is, but I feel like this is useful.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
So I do an unarmed strike and I do 1d4 plus 2, but because I do my flurry of blows, I get two extras. So I roll a d4 three times and add 6.
Go for it.
While Ashley rolls some dice, a d4. What you're going to hear a lot is d4. D6, D8, and things of that nature. The D means dice. The number is the number of sides it has. D6 is the normal dice you'll know and love from games like Monopoly.
Mm.
Do they have a dice in Monopoly?
Think so, yeah.
So I'd like to now let you know, Monopoly. So it was 60... Oh, fuck, I just lost it. I've moved my dice, but it was
three
six,
ones.
Yeah.
It was three ones. It wasn't gotta three have ones. Been it three, wasn't ones. Three ones. There's no way it wasn't three ones.
Fuck you, you've fuckers. You right, I'm doing it, but this
actually,
time I'm
not you can't just
dice.
Re-roll because you got three ones.
I didn't get three ones. This is shit.
What did you get then?
But I said it out loud. I said out loud what I got.
Well, I'll cut them in now. I cut you in just saying one, three times. That's all I did.
Fuck it, I did one three times, but plus six, so I did fucking nine. I did nine damage.
Nine damage, okay. Cool. Nimbus, perfect. You're up next.
I'm going to propose some stuff here, because Nimbus, he's not a fighting man. He's a cleric. He's a supportive character more than anything else, and doesn't really have any none of the spells that do damage.
Okay, Alex, just like quick sidebar on this side of the studio.
Uh-huh.
You do realize that like this is for radio and like you were supposed to be able
I'm
to play
about
the game.
Tom, this is gonna knock your socks off.
Alright, let's go back. Hi Ash, sorry.
Sorry about that, Ash. I got told off for doing a dumb character again. So what Ash and sorry, is it a death dog, did you say?
The death dog, yep.
Are we fighting a dead death? So what Fido and Ashley are seeing now is Nimbus just naturally gives off a beautiful divine glow, but that glow almost intensifies and there's like deep, rich purple colours. If you were to roll an investigation check, you'd know I was concentrating. As I cast my cantrip, Thaumaturgy. I'll read you the description of what this spell is.
Thank you.
You manifest a minor wonder, a sign of supernatural power within range. You create one of the following magical effects within range. Blah, 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 and the one I'm going to use. You create an instantaneous sound that originates from a point of your choice within range, such as a rumble of thunder, the cry of a raven, or ominous whispers. But what I'm going to use Thaumaturgy for is I would like from just behind the Death Dog, where he came from, I want him to hear the sound of sizzling bacon. And what I propose for this is the dog to make some kind of check to see if he's intrigued by the bacon.
Okay, I like it.
I'd like to give Fido a bacon trick.
Okay. So wait, is this coming from the way he came from or the way you guys have come from?
Where he came from. I wanted to...
Where he came from.
Wonder if someone is frying up a delicious pork snack just for him.
Okay. Well, the death dog does have -4 to intelligence, so let's
which
give it a go.
Which is the same as me in real life, so this is all working out great.
Okay, that was a 10, -4, so that's a 6, and I'm going to say...
That can't be good, Tommy.
I'm going to say that...
That can't be good for him.
No, I'm going to say that, like, he... His doggy instincts are taking over, and he really doesn't want to, but ready-made food is better than food he has to kill. So he's gonna
and my light intensifies as I'm focusing on producing the crackling sounds of bacon.
Good, good, good. That's good flavour. So what he's going to do is he's going to stamp on his two front feet and just roar at the two of you, and then immediately 180 and just scamper off, and you guys lived to tell the tale. Well done.
Thank God for that. I didn't want to have to kill it with my bare hands.
Mm. Yeah, no, that was going to be visceral.
Well, you guys did it in a very interesting way, which is good work. You could have killed him. But anyway, I'm going to stop railroading the two of you and let you sort of decide what you want to do now. You know your goal? You know what you're trying to do?
Ashley, do you think the dog is going to pose a problem in our future?
Nah, man. I'm sure it'll all work out. It'll all work out, okay?
I think he will have despawned.
It's just like Destiny. You just go hide in a corner and eventually everything turns out fine.
Hang on. Check the mini-map. Do you see the blip on the radar?
Listen, I'm looking. I'm feeling. There's no mini-map here, buddy. I don't want to say we might be lost, but we might be lost.
Shall we do a check to investigate?
Let's gently investigate. Let's probe the area.
Tyrone, tell me what I see.
What is Tyrone telling
you, my sweet prince?
Nimbus is a very smart man. I'm not. So I've just got to take just a little minute here just to figure out all of my stuff.
Just add up your numbers.
Yep.
Okay.
That is a dirty 20, which is to say it is a 20, but I didn't roll it naturally. It is a 17 plus 3.
Okay, good work. So with that investigation check, you can see ahead of you that there's a T-junction, essentially. The cave splits off in two directions, and you can hear a combination of two noises, but you can't yet discern which way they're coming from. You can hear the sound of intense, like, rushing water, and then also the sound of, like, creaking and pistons pumping, sort of steam being expelled.
And also the sound of bacon cooking, I hope.
Yeah, bacon in and around.
The fry of bacon in the distance.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal then. We're gonna march on towards the steam and pumping sounds.
Okay. So,
what do you think, Nimbus? I need your sweet knowledge.
It reminds me of the engine on the boat from which I met you on.
How sweet. I love it when you talk about when we met. You're so handsome and cloudy.
It was such a romantic evening.
I wish I could hold your hand, but I can't because you are a cloud.
The drowning, the near death.
not my highlight, I'll be honest with you.
The handy J with the crab claw on my cloud pea.
No.
Don't say that in front of Tyrone. God is listening.
God is ever present and wants you to play Dragons and Dungeons.
Tyrone is a dirty boy and he likes the cloud peen.
Oh, God.
Don't you, Tyrone?
No.
Just the voice of, please edit the voice of God in like a choir of hallelujahs and then just, yeah, I fucking do, homie.
Oh, gosh.
So sorry, I got wrapped up in you jacking off Nimbus with a crab hand.
With my crab hand.
Which way are we going?
I'm going to snip my crab hand pointing forward with it and say, this way, dear friend. And we're going to walk towards the steamy puppy boy noises.
Perfect. Tommy, okay, do we need to do a walking check?
No. You guys can just walk. I mean, Alex, you float. But yeah,
you two can
just move. Yeah. Okay, so taking the right-hand tunnel towards the sound of the creaking and the pistons.
Take us to the rumpy pumpy.
Yeah, the rushing water sound behind you dissipates, and you find that you're actually inside of an abandoned armory. There's shattered weapons that are all pushed up against the walls, and as you walk, you can hear the clanking of metal under your feet. And there is still that sound of pistons and steam sort of in the far end of the room, but the light is very dim. You can only see because of Nimbus's glow.
Nimbus, can you shine a little light in that direction? And I'll do an investigation. We'll have a look around.
Yes. Hang on.
Oh, okay, so it sounds like you're shitting. Okay.
How is that?
Thank you so much. Tyrone, I rolled a 15 and I get a plus 3, so it's cool, cool 18.
Amazing. Okay. Well, with that...
I can see very far with my eyes.
Good work,
actually,
buddy.
Just remind me, in real life, do you have dark vision?
Yes, yeah, I do, yeah. It's canon.
That's canon in real life.
It's impossible for anyone. It's canon in real life. No one can sneak up on me in the dark. I can see the dark.
Ashley eats all of the carrots.
Is it on your character sheet, though?
No, it's not, but this is, this
then
is real
then
life.
Fuck, then fuck you. Then fuck you, you don't have dark vision.
Well, I asked him to shine a light over there anyway, and he did by making a big poo noise.
Dragons and Dungeons Ashley is actually allergic to carrots, and we must bear that in
That's
mind.
That's my one
Should
weakness.
Any of our foes in the future be carrot wielders, that you are deathly allergic to them.
Yeah, you shouldn't have told me that, because now I know your weakness. Anyway, Ash, with that investigation check of, what was it, 18, did you say?
Yes,
17
sir.
Or 18?
It was 18, sir.
18. Okay, with that, there's a machine in the far corner of the room, and it seems to be some kind of automatic ammunition dispenser. And evidently, the Grey Valor left this running when they hustled to leave. There's crossbow bolts all over the floor, like literally everywhere. And there's actually a crossbow hung on the corner of the machine.
I'll get it. Never mind.
Yep. Cool. Yeah, so there's a crossbow hung on the side of the machine, Ash.
I'd like to, as I would in, just like I would in real life, it's just walk up, look around, see if anyone's, if this belongs to anyone, and then just take it.
Okay, cool. So as you pick it up, you explode. No, there's
just like that time I stole a push bike. God damn. Tyrone works in a mysterious way.
More fool you for not investigating literally everything. No,
don't you stabilize the dead again? It's actually been killed twice already.
No, it's okay. That was an alternate universe. That was an alternate timeline in the prime timeline. Ash, as you lift up the crossbow, you realize that its sling was sort of wrapped around a lever, and as you lift it. The lever actually moves into the off position, and finally the machine has stopped whirring and spitting out crossbow bolts, which are literally in a pile on the floor. There's more than, Ash, you can even count. There's hundreds of thousands.
I think we could try. One.
Can you carry stuff?
Two.
Cloudy boy.
Okay, I'll leave that to you.
Stopped at one.
Just lost count.
Yep, good two. Work. Yep. Okay. Anyway,
For the sake of austerity, is it a light crossbow or a heavy crossbow?
It's a light crossbow.
God damn it.
Yep. Also, as part of your insanely good investigation check, Ashley, there's also a very small but intricate key laid on the top of one of the canisters of the machine. It's the most intricate key you've ever seen. The nooks that sort of decide where the pins go, they curve in different directions. And you actually notice that there's four letters on the stem that haven't been rubbed off through use and time. And you can see K, A, L, and S. Those are the letters you can see.
Sorry, one more time.
K, A, L, S.
Is it?
But they're all spaced out, and so you can tell that there were letters.
Oh, in between every letter.
It's K space A L space S space.
Oh, it would appear we have a mystery on our hands.
Carol's like from old school RuneScape. He has a crossbow.
No.
Shut up, nerd.
Yeah, shut up, freak.
So we're gonna fuck all this noise. I've got my crossbow. I've got my crossbow bolts. We're gonna take the key, obviously. Mm-hmm. Can my sweet baby boy, Nimbus, could you float over it first to make sure there's nothing going to, like, fuck me up?
Sorry, what was I floating over?
Float over the key, homie.
Yes. And I do.
And I do.
And you've done it. Well done. And there's nothing wrong with the key. It's a key. It's a key. And you expressed more sort of caution with a key than with a fucking crossbow. Well done, Ashley. You did it.
Well, yeah, because keys are important. Crossbows are a tool for murder.
Okay, okay.
You see a crossbow and you go, yeah, that's dangerous. A key, not inherently dangerous.
I would agree with you there, Alex. Anyway, anything, what else are we doing? What are we doing now?
Making our way downtown.
Floating fast.
Faces past. We're homebound.
Grasses pass as I'm asked. Yeah, okay.
So we're currently in the Grey Valor's armory.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley has collected himself.
We've turned off the machine, pumping out all the crossbow ammo.
Yep.
Ashley's got himself a crossbow.
Do you want to go back to the stream?
Yeah, shall we head towards the water?
Hell yeah. I've equipped my crossbow. I'm carrying it in my little handy boys. Listen for the sounds of me going, wah! As I fire a crossbow into the crowd.
Yeah, all stealthy. Good work.
Yes. Good stealthing, Ashley. So what, you're leaving this room and going to the...
Back to where the water pump, where the water noises were.
Okay. So... leaving the room and taking the left-hand tunnel, you follow the cave system up through an incline. Regardless of where you've been, this experience for you so far has been dank, cramped, and wet, in stark contrast to the spacious fortress above. But the tunnel begins to widen. The squat, moss-covered walls and low-hanging ceilings start to give way to tall, pristine marble and increasingly taller ceilings. You find yourselves in this image that I'm sending you both right now. And for the sake of the audience, this should be on the Instagram somewhere so that you can all review it too. Anyway.
That's a picture of Alex's microphone.
No. That's not the one I sent.
Oh, underneath it. Okay.
That was another picture from earlier in the chat. So this, what we're looking at here, is a map.
It's a map, yes. As a bit of flavour text, you find yourselves in a wide, airy atrium. There's light beaming in through a planar portal that's in the centre of the ceiling above you. It also seems to be the mouth for an extra-dimensional waterfall, and the water falls from the middle of the ceiling in a pillar-like column directly downwards. The bottom of this waterfall, there's a 10-foot-wide grate or drain that's allowing the water coming from the portal to leave the room, but there's a huge amount of water being sort of splashed in every direction, and it's making the floor around the waterfall very reflective and slippery. Please do as you will with the map you've been given.
Let us investigate! Do you want to go and have... There's fires in three corners, there's the stairs. I assume we're stood at the bottom of the room.
You are at the you're at 6 o'clock.
So let's try and be super duper explainative for listeners, or are we just banking on listeners having this image available?
I would say it's beneficial if the listeners want to have a look at it. But yeah, if you guys could, we're looking at a circular room. You guys have walked in from 6 o'clock on the circle, if it were a clock. And Ashley, you just described that at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock, there are fires in not in fucking corners, because circle don't have corners. But yeah, there are three fires, and yeah, please continue.
What are the other times? That's like at about 7:30, there's a statue. What would be the bottom left, top right, bottom right? In between the fires, there are statues by the looks of things.
Some of them have got little things underneath them, so that what looks like a hand holding something, what looks like a trough of water, and what looks like a bowl.
And then there's a flowing pillar of water, did you say? So it's coming from the ceiling into the floor in just a cylindrical waterfall.
Yes, yeah, it's just travelling directly downwards.
Oh, fuck yeah! And then Nimbus kind of just zooms over and just kind of gently, just the edge of his cloudy form, just kind of dips it a little bit in, because he is water vapor. So I don't know what he's going to gain from doing this. I'm sure Tyrone's going to tell me, but it's something.
Does he just fill the room?
Some more mass. You get a bit more mass. You're a bit heavier now.
I now really need to piss.
Yes, exactly. It's like having a drink, but just on steroids.
Excellent. Okay, I know from experience that outside of the fiction, I'm not good at puzzles, but Ashley, this looks like a puzzle, which you are good at.
Cool. I'd like to do an investigation check on the statue that is to my front and to my right, like forward right. It's the one that looks like it's got a trough of water from where I'm standing.
So that it would kind of be about between 1 and 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a lunchtime kind of deal.
Sure, sure. Okay, so roll that investigation check, buddy.
16 plus 3, it's a 19.
Oh, hell, you guys have rolled good so far. Well done. Okay, so it's a very, very intricately designed golden set of armor. Yeah, below its feet is a wooden trough of water, although it stands on like a sort of marble pedestal. So yeah, it's obviously sort of presenting its importance.
As we all are in this life.
What you glean from this, Ashley, is that the trough is part of a puzzle.
I knew it.
What's at the statue behind me? I'm still at the trough. I'm looking. I turn around 180 degrees. There's what looks like a marble plinth and a bowl, question mark?
So this would be like 7 or 8 o'clock, which would be like, what, supper time?
What's supper time
say? What does the supper time statue say? I want that supper time statue.
Fuck me, Jesus Christ. Ash, if you'd like to just speed run this, you can investigate all four at once and I'll give you some
shit. Yeah,
just
tell me what the fuck is underneath those 6 statues.
Exactly. Okay, so each suit of armor is facing the center of the room. If we're going clockwise, starting with the top right one, we've got a water trough, a wooden bowl, a metal gauntlet, and then finally in the top left, that one is missing its item. There's evidently something there that used to be there.
I'm gonna teabag the empty gauntlet.
Okay.
I'm just gonna squat and just dip my balls into it and shout. Hey, Nimbus! Look, I can teabag this statue's
Whoa,
hands.
That's awesome, dude! Let me take a picture.
And then I get my my fantasy camera out, Tom.
Yep. Okay.
And
what does that look like with your hands that you don't have?
Shit. No, I produce it immediately, and it falls to the floor and breaks. I have no means of holding it.
Cool. Okay. Good work. Yep, exactly. So it was just held within you and you just sort of barf it up and then it falls to the floor and dies. The flash goes off.
And I also do a little piss as it falls. It frightens me and some of the extra mass falls out.
Okay. So anyway, you guys know what's going on with the statues and you know what's going on in front of all of them.
I'm going to get the wooden bowl and I'm going to fill it with water out of the fountain in the middle, and I'm going to put the water in front of the empty statue and just be like, are you thirsty, homie?
Okay, so you do that.
Yeah. So I think you kind of, you're onto something. Sorry to interrupt, Tommy. I know this is
no.
Bad manners of me, actually, and now I regret all of it.
No, it's okay, buddy. Carry on.
So actually, I think you are onto something because we have 4 statues. 3 of them have a something. The 4th one doesn't. So I think the 4th one needs a something.
Should you just sling the key down at his feet?
That is an option. So you're doing a water thing now. We do also have fire, which is going to play a part, I think, and also a key. So let's start with, a little bowl of water.
Take my bowl of water. Maybe I'm just going to pour it on the glove now. I need to find out, like, there's got to be more to it than just beating the bowl full of water. What do I do with the water afterwards?
You just pop it down at his feet? Try just popping it down at his feet where the other ones are.
Just pop it down. Yeah, we'll just pop it down at his feet. Just drop it down at his feet. And then look up to the sky. Tyrone!
Tyrone, is this it?
No.
Shit.
Shit, piss and cum.
I think it's interesting that sometimes I sound different. Sometimes it's like I speak, but I use like a different voice that sounds just like Ashley's.
That's cool. It's really, really interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's a character arc thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of spooky, isn't it?
So it wasn't that. How would we use fire? I'm not going any... Right, I'm going to just lay down some rules here. I ain't going anywhere near fire.
Cool, yeah, makes sense.
I will not exist.
Oh, you're a cloud. You'll disappear. That's fair. I would like to... So metal gauntlet, trough. There's no writing anywhere in the room, is there? There's no clues, no hints.
Well,
just
you have barely explored the room. You have looked at 4 of the suits of armour and you've spotted fires. That's it. That's all you've done so far.
Oh, I would like to investigate the fires, please.
Okay, but you just said you wouldn't go near them, Alex.
From afar?
Yeah, you can investigate from afar. I do it to people all the time.
I can, like, peer in a little bit, can't I? I would like to, from a safe distance, investigate the fires, please, Tommy.
Okay, what's your What did you get?
I got... What do I see with a 7?
What do you see with a 7?
With a 7, yeah. Like, I rolled the dice and it said 7 after I added all the numbers up.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You don't know how fire works, but you know that the thing is hot. Mm-hmm. And just behind the fire, you can see two sort of glowing dots of gold, sort of just, like, twinkling behind it.
So, what, like, lamps? Would I, Alex Springthorpe, recognise these as lamps, or is it a mythical fantasy glowing orb?
No, no, no. So,
do I need to do something else to find that sort of information out?
Behind the fire, there are two things twinkling at you that are on the wall with a 7. I mean, you only got a 7.
Ashley,
there's two things twinkling. And
there's things twinkling, and I do not have the mental fortitude to understand if they are mythical or regular.
I'm going to just dash over. I'll be like, just grab those balls. Just grabbing those balls. No checking, no finding out. I'm just going to grab those balls.
Okay, you guys are bad at Dungeons & Dragons, but Ash, you hop over the fire pit, sort of lightly singeing your crotch region.
You do still have your testicles out from when you teabagged something.
Yes.
The smell of burnt hair fills the room.
Yes, exactly. You jump over the fire and with both hands reach out to grab what Alex has described to you as two fantasy orbs. And as you get over the fire, you realise that your hands have just hit solid wall and they're actually just two clockwork-looking mechanisms that are inlaid into the marble wall.
Are there any keyholes? Can I investigate? I'm investigating.
Go on, investigate them.
14 plus 3, so your boy gets a 17!
It looks very... The one that you're looking at, which is on the right-hand side, looks very, very similar to the key that you did done pick up.
Slap the key into it, big boy!
Okay, it doesn't fit.
Are there any others?
Well, if you were to look at... Yeah, just look at the map. How many does it look? There's like 6 of them.
I'm going to try the key on each one. There's 6. I'm going to shit, piss and come into one of them. I'm going to try bottom left and then go around the room clockwork. Clockwise. Wise like a clock.
You get to... what would we call it? Just below 9 o'clock. The one that's below the 9 o'clock fire. You jam the key into the keyhole and you twist it and it spins. And it's crunchy and it feels like it hasn't been turned for a while. Obviously, parts of the key have been worn down.
Have we got any fantasy WD-40?
You don't, no. But it still does turn without that. A bit of spit, a bit of lube makes it work. Yes, ye olde lube. And as it turns, there's sort of like a... You know, on a toilet where it says, like, occupied and vacant and like, yes. Whatever. As you turn the key 180 degrees, there's like a plaque that reveals itself that says Qualish. That's K-W-A-L-I-S-H. Qualish.
Hey, that's the thing that was missing off the key.
Yeah. And, Ash, given your proficiency with woodworking and real life and being a boy who knows a lot about stuff.
I know some stuff.
Yeah, you're immediately just ruined by this revelation. You know that you will not get into this vault unless you have every single key. You need every single key to get in here, and there's no way you can do it without. This is the fourth time in your life that you've been looking for something, and you've come across what everybody refers to as Qualish locks. Then you're not going to get through it at all. There's no chance.
I'd like to roll a fucking luck. Can I roll for luck and try and like just throw my fist at the lock once? I'm just going
to
try once.
You're just going to straight once. up and down, roll a dice to get in. And if it's very good, then you're hopeful something might happen.
Up and down, roll a dice, let me in.
I am for this plan.
Give it a go. Give it a go. Give it a go.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're gonna try these things. Well, it's a fucking 1.
That's not
cool. Good work, buddy. You don't get in. You actually fall over. You fall over real hard. Roll hard.
I take 16 damage and pass out. No.
No, but you do hurt yourself, and you're not happy, and you're even more miserable than you were before.
So do I know that we can't get in? Does is Nimbus aware of this, Ashley, or have you had this shocking revelation and kept it all to your selfish self?
Hang on, Nimbus, you're literally a cloud. You're literally a cloud. Why don't you just go through the keyhole?
That would hurt my cloud bones.
You... Nimbus, I don't think clouds have bones. I don't want to say I know better than you. I don't know if that's racially insensitive.
I have had one too many experiences of trying to squeeze into holes I was not meant to squeeze through. I won't do it.
You promised not to tell anyone about that. Come on now.
Do it.
Okay, so we need to find these six keys. That's where we're at.
I find the keys, Tom. Tom, I find the keys. They're over here. Tom, they're okay, over here.
I'd like to roll a key finding check.
That's going to be a process. You can't just roll that.
I rolled a 14 on key finding. How?
Okay, so with that key finding check, you know that the keys aren't in here and you need to leave, so leave.
Okay, cool. Thanks, great god, Tyrone. We escaped.
Do we go through the waterfall?
I think we go through the stairs.
Just sort of go back the way you came, really, if you want to.
We're just going to go back the way we came. Let's go, Nimbus right now.
Nimbus solemnly has one final sip of the fountain before dripping his way out.
Okay, good work, Nimbus. Yeah, the two of you, well, Ash, you trudge, and Nimbus, you drip your way out of the tunnel system. And as you emerge from underneath the guard's barracks, you hear the sound of a faraway horn playing in what sounds like celebration. And you both sort of infer that another party have delivered the cure for the Jarl's son.
For whose son, sorry?
The Jarl, old Carl.
We're looking for a cure for vampirism for Carl.
Yeah.
Carl's son.
For Carl's son, who's caught being a vampire.
He's been out there being a vampire. I've seen him doing it.
Poor Carl.
Interestingly enough, though, one thing that you guys sort of forgot about, and by forgot I mean that I just fucking forgot to tell you, is that the Carl's son, in order to, you know, sort of stave off the vampirism, he actually sealed him inside of a magical iron coffin, which is sort of mounted on top of legs that can walk around. And Ashley, because you just know a lot about building stuff, you know that it's actually an early Quaelish design as well. You've seen this name pop up a bunch of places.
Yo, dude, pretty whack that he locked his vampire son in a coffin robot, huh?
Pretty fucking whack, if you ask me, homie. I like my vampires free range. Cage raised vampires don't taste as good.
No, definitely not.
You got to get them free range where they can get all that flavor and spice.
just outside of the fortress, the sun is just starting to rise over the top of the barrier peaks that are to your left, and it brings a warm, comforting glow that makes you guys sort of feel better after your rough adventure. But as you begin to walk back towards the town of Ravensmoor, a low rumbling sound fills your ears.
I would like to investigate that. Find out what it is. It feels ominous.
You took the hint.
Yes.
I caught you with my bait. Go for it.
16.
Oof. Very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. An investigation check of 16. You actually look towards the sky, and you can see that there's a giant blimp sort of rumbling across, and it's being pulled by two enormous golden smoke billowing dragons.
Immediately, Ashley, you've seen Nimbus and the light in him, which has kind of been just kind of cyclically going through kind of bluey, greeny, purpley colours, just instantly. It just goes out on the sight of dragons.
Which is a sign of clouds being arousal. It turns out Nimbus is just super horny for dragons.
Yeah, yeah. Underneath the blimp, it looks like a small bronze hut is hanging down, and Nimbus being a man of the a cloud of the world, you realize that this is the traveling convoy of Anaxi Zephyres. He's the greatest cartographer.
Hey, that's the traveling convoy of
Anaxi Zephyres.
Jefferson.
Zephyres. No, we're not changing names every time. Anaxi Zephyres.
Ashley, that's Alice Jefferson. No. I'm her biggest fan.
No.
And I zoom.
I am zooming.
Okay. Zooming where?
I'd like it to be known that in character, I look at my hand with a smudge writing that just says the correct pronunciation of the name.
Anaxi Zephyres.
Alice, wait!
It's a sign from God. Anaxi Zephyres chases after the cloud.
Okay, so the blimp is traveling in the direction of Ravensmoor. And even though you are really sounding real stupid, Nimbus, you know that he's there to enlist support from the locals in uncovering lost secrets and trying to map the world.
Well, if anyone's going to know where some fucking keys are, it's this guy for sure, right?
He makes the best cloud maps. Maps for cloud.
Don't suck his dick too hard, you fucking cloud boy.
Okay, so what are we doing?
What we're doing is we are rushing the carriage. I need to see Alice Jefferson, famed traveller of the world and, by the sounds of things, cartographer.
Okay, well, we've been recording now for a little while, and I feel like we've made a nice little bookend to our adventure here. So I'll give you a little bit of flavour, and then we'll hit pause and lovely. The two of you hurry back to Ravensmoor, and a kind travelling dwarf passes by you and offers a lift in his wagon, providing you don't mind sharing the taxi with a chained Deathcrest ape. And that's it for today, boys. That was our session, our Dungeon and Dragon.
What was your favourite bit, Ashley? I really liked the dungeon.
We did see a dragon.
Wow.
See, guys, it's like I planned that. It's like I planned it.
Tom, you're the best dungeon master. My only quandary now is, how do you go on from this? You've got it. You've done it all.
Yeah, I've beat it. But there is more of this story, of course. I've written much more than just what we've done today. I know, audience, I know that this was very different to what you're probably used to. I said that we would post the map on our Instagram, and also we'll post a picture of what a Deathcrest ape looks like, if you're interested. But I mean, we'd love some feedback to know whether this is something that you might like to carry on hearing occasionally, or if it's just really...
Every 10th episode, maybe we do like a D&D story carry on, and then we release it as a playlist, you know.
Yeah, that sounds
separate
good.
Separate thing altogether.
Yeah, I like that idea. But yeah, it's totally up to you guys, you know. I mean, you know, we want to put out what you guys want to listen to, but we also do like the main format of our podcast. So if this is something you like, you know, the three of us enjoy playing it, and if you want to hear more, we'd be happy to do that. Occasionally. So yeah, thanks for joining us play this dumb stupid game, and we hope that it was interesting enough to keep you for whatever amount of time this ends up being. So thank you.
But just before we do go, I just like to say a huge thank you to Tom and Alex for being my friends.
Aww.
That's very wholesome.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. I'm vibing.
Thanks,
Ash. It's been a rough work week, and this podcast and the listeners and you guys helped me through it. So thank you for that.
Well, that's very sweet, Ashley. Well, I'm glad to have been around the two of you playing this dumb fuck game and doing this dumb fuck podcast.
How have you found Dungeon Mastership?
It's tough. And you guys are half-wit fuckos, which
is good, or
is, you know, makes it a little bit more difficult. But
Tom's put us on hold. I feel like that speaks more volumes than anything else.
Tom's called his secretary and said, "Oh, I don't have time to talk to these people."
No, I'm back.
No, Tom. No, you put us on hold. We were talking to the listeners.
I'm sorry.
And then you thought you were just too cool.
How many FaceTime call ending sound effects do you think I have, Tom? It's not many.
Many.
I don't have many left.
Oh, I... Well.
Tom, we haven't got the budget to add the doo-doo-doo-doo. So that's the fucking Windows shutdown.
Yeah, that's not the right.
Well, that's the one I've used now.
Perfect. Okay. Great. Could you also do the crazy frog ding ding for me when
yeah.
I leave?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. No worries.
Okay. That's good.
As always, we will see you next week.
Bye, listeners.
Okay, bye.
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 Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner. We'll be right back.